Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program, and I'm Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And Rick almost forgot where he was there for a minute, didn't he? Oh, that's really good. I love it. When you make a mistake on the air and it just stays right there, it's already gone. Everybody's heard it.
Oh, well.
That's just the way it is, isn't it? But welcome, friends. We're glad you're tuned in. We're here every Sunday night on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we do this program for the sake of Bible study, to help people to recognize where we are, not just in the stream of time, but to come to know the true and living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah, you know, I recently heard a sermon about going to the Bible to find out what the truth is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're trying to do here.
Amen. That is what we try to do. So, you know, just before we start our Bible study here today, it's always good to thank Ray Powers for giving us this spot in his network to be able to broadcast here on New Visions Radio. We really appreciate it, Ray. Thanks for all you do for keeping us going. And even at times when we can't always broadcast right away, he'll find a selected sermon and post that for us. We really appreciate all of your hard work. And friends, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time and some who are coming back each week, we want to remind you that we have a worship service at the Prophecies of Hope Church. Ed, what can you tell us
about
that?
Yes, every Saturday or Sabbath, mm-hmm. we have our church service. We have at 9:30 starting, we have a Sabbath school, or it's a Bible study lesson. And then at 11 o'clock, we have the worship hour.
Yes, okay. And you can actually stream that live.
Yes.
Online at prophecyhope.com. If you go to that website, prophecyhope.com, and you'll see on the left, it's pretty user-friendly. You go to the left side, and you can click on it, and it'll take you right there. And what else goes on during the week, Rick?
Well, we have a Bible study that's just a local Bible study. It's not something that we stream or put online. It's just a small group. I can't even talk today.
Yeah,
it's just okay. A small group that meets and we just sit around the table, open our Bibles. Usually we have some theme or something from Scripture, either a book of the Bible or some topic that we're trying to study. But, you know, that's an interesting study because we could, if someone walks in and says, I have a question about such and such, or I have a thought about this subject, you know, we'll derail the whole study and just talk about that because that's what it's there for.
Absolutely. I tell you what, there's not a Bible study or a Sabbath school that we've had that I didn't come away completely uplifted. And it's the same with this program. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, friends, you know how sometimes things come in your schedule and you think, wow, you know, I've got to do this. I really have to get. And so we have three schedules to organize here every week.
Yeah, we do.
And sometimes it can be a little inconvenient. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, people are busy. But I've never done this, never come here and left and said, you know, I'm really sorry I did that. How do you feel after the program?
It's a blessing to do this.
It's a great blessing.
It's really uplifting.
Yeah. It really is. And so we're glad you're tuned in. Also, if you want to send in a Bible question or if you have a topic maybe you'd like to discuss or you'd like us to talk about on the air, you can email us. You can find me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And I am ed@prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
There you go. If you forget our names, you can just email office@prophecyhope.com. That'll go into a general box. We will get it. We do try to reply to all emails as much as possible. Of course, we get a lot of spam. We've got to sift through sometimes. But just give us a little time to reply. Also, we want to remind everybody that this is 2020. This is actually, today is July the 19th, right? Sunday, July 19th, 2020. And in just about 2 months and a week or so, we're going to have a Bible prophecy series.
What's that going to be about?
Well, it's going to be about Daniel and Revelation and how they go hand in hand. And it's going to show how where we are in the stream of time, how Bible prophecy affects us.
So Daniel and Revelation have a lot of prophecy in them?
Oh, yeah. Ed's asking me these questions to make me talk, friends. He knows the answer.
But not everybody listening may understand that.
That's true. That's very true. But no, it's really encouraging. When you see how these two books, Daniel was written about 600 B.C., and the book of Revelation was written about 100 A.D., And these two men had no, they didn't know each other. They weren't living at the same time. Yet the prophecies that Daniel wrote and the things that John wrote correspond to the things that Daniel wrote, and they fit hand in glove, don't they, Rick?
Yeah, they do. And I was going over this with my kids on a Zoom Bible study last night. You know, we just have FaceTime on the computer because of this whole virus situation. And that's one of the points I made to them. We were studying Daniel chapter 2. And that's a simple, great prophecy to just read through that thing. It's really simple to understand because Daniel in his writing just explains the whole thing after it's all done. And I said to my kids, this really is the start of the whole of Bible prophecy moving forward. Yeah. And all the prophecies that come in the Bible, even in Revelation, build on this one concept of all the kingdoms of the world lined up so we can see what's going to happen in the future. And it was just, it's just amazing how one after another, these prophecies build on the one before it.
So with each prophecy, you get more and more information.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, and what Rick said, friends, about these things, Daniel in chapter 2, if you read it, at first it might sound very confusing, but keep reading because he explains what each one of those elements are as you go through. And you may still not understand. So if you don't, tune in to prophecyhope.com starting September 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's going to be on a Monday. And each night during that week, we will have a lecture that each one is related to the one previous. So I think that you'll enjoy it. I think it'll be very informative. And we'll even see how the United States is in Bible prophecy. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to look at those things.
Wow.
So, friends, we're going to get started with this Bible study, and we need to have God's Spirit with us when we study. So, Ed, would you mind opening with prayer for us?
Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful to be able to come and open your word and to study it, to learn from it. And we just pray for wisdom to give us understanding of what we're reading. We pray for the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth, that we can not only know these things, but to apply them to our lives. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So let's see, guys. We were last week, I think we stopped at Jude. It's funny because Ed says, what chapter are we in Jude? Being facetious before we started, there's only one chapter in Jude. I said we were in Jude chapter 3. But Jude has one chapter, and I think last week we read through to verse 7, but we didn't discuss that verse,
right. If
I remember correctly. So let me see. If you have your Bibles open there, Jude is the book right before Revelation, if you're tuning in and you want to follow along. And why don't we start, Ed, would you read verses 5 through 7 just so we get an idea?
Sure. But I intend to remind you, you once knowing these things, that the Lord, having delivered the people of the land of Egypt, in the second place destroyed the ones not believing. And those angels, not having kept their first place, but having deserted their dwelling place, he has kept in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of a great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in like manner to these, committing fornication and going away after other flesh, laid down an example before times, undergoing vengeance of everlasting fire.
Okay, so when we, just as a brief review, when we look at this text where it says, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, destroyed those who did not believe. What are we talking about there?
Well, when God took the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, remember they had to go through all these plagues and the Egyptians had to endure all these plagues because Pharaoh would not let God's people go.
Right.
But you know, when they got out into the wilderness, God was protecting them, giving food and water for them to eat and drink, providing in every way for them.
Yeah.
And even allowing that their clothes and shoes wouldn't wear out during this trip through the desert. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
But a lot of them just didn't want to follow God. Mm-hmm. And they were so intent on instead of having faith in God that he was leading them, even though they'd seen all these miracles through the Red Sea where God parted the waters and all that, they didn't want to put faith in him. They were just believing in what their eyes and ears were telling them. We're going to perish out here in the desert. You know, why don't we have what we need? Why, you know, all this stuff. They even said, we want to go back to Egypt. Mm. And so, you know, God destroyed some of those people.
Yeah, that's right.
For having an attitude and lack of faith like that.
So Jude here, in context, he's reminding God's people of how God looks out for his people.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? When he's writing this letter. And then last week we discussed a little bit about the verse 6 where it talks about these angels who did not keep their proper domain, it says in the New King James, but left their own abode. Do we remember what we said about that? We looked at some texts in Isaiah, I believe, and we looked through the Old Testament to see what took place, what has happened with the devil and his demons.
Well, I think we determined that the devil and his demons were everybody that wanted to follow him rather than God. All those angels in heaven were cast out of heaven. I think we went to those texts.
Yes, we did. It's in Revelation.
That's very clear from Scripture. In fact, those verses say, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil and his demons have come down to you. And I think we feel his presence, and we're pretty, you know, all the garbage that goes on in the natural world is part of that happening. Yeah. And the way people are tempted and want to turn away from God is because the devil's influence here on this earth.
Okay, so we see here, this warning is given that this has happened. We looked at those texts in Revelation, I believe it was chapter 7, and Isaiah chapter 14 last week, where it talks about the devil being cast out.
Revelation 12.
Is it Revelation 12? Yeah. Thanks, Ed. Yeah. Yeah, 7 is a different context. Thank you for that.
And we talked about the next phrase, too, where these are reserved in everlasting chains, and how we talked about that we can't imagine that there would be actual physical chains chaining these demons or the devil down. This is a chain of circumstance. Correct. In other words, God has quarantined the devil and his demons to this earth because our parents, Adam and Eve, chose the devil's way, chose sin. So he's lotted us all together.
That should be a well-understood term today, quarantine.
Yes, it should. Yeah, people should understand what that means, to be locked down.
Yeah, these are chains of circumstance for the devil and his angels.
Okay, very good. So now verse 7, Ed read this, and this is the New King James. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, it says, and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Wow, this is a great text.
Yeah.
Yours left out one thing that mine...
Oh, what did it leave out there?
It says, laid down as an example, before times.
Okay, yeah, mine just says... are set forth as an example. That's all it says.
Yeah.
That's what mine says too. Set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Yeah. Well, you said this is a great text, Rick. What did you have in mind
here? Well, my question is, we know the account of Sodom and Gomorrah from the Old Testament, how God Lot and his family.
Can we look at that briefly?
Yeah, let's go ahead and look at it.
Let's go there.
Genesis 19.
Thank you, Ed, for that. Genesis 19. I'm going to grab, because this Bible that I use, you know, my old study Bible, Genesis is actually falling out. So I'm going to grab a newer Bible here.
You must spend a lot of time in Genesis.
Yeah, I've studied that probably more than any book of the Bible.
Now, this is a fairly long story. I'm not sure where you want to start.
Well, we can maybe do an overview, just kind of scan some of the verses here. You know, right here in chapter 19, that's where you said, I have a New King James Bible here, and this one, not the one I just laid down, but this one has little subheadings, and it says, Sodom's depravity. That's what it says right above this, and that's verses 1 through 11. And in fact, it says here in verse 4, it says, now before they lay down the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. Whose house was this talking about?
Lot's house.
Lot. And so Lot was actually someone who evidently was trying to live up to the things that God had asked him to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we could say that for that time, Lot was trying to live a righteous life.
Yeah.
Now, Lot had a famous relative.
It was Noah, right? Wasn't Noah?
Abraham.
Abraham. But he is a descendant of Noah, for sure.
Oh, because he must be.
Yeah.
But like you and me.
Yeah, that's right. We are descendants of Noah, too.
But remember the story about Abraham?
Yes,
having a visitor, and he prayed to God, asking him to spare the city.
That. I do remember.
And
that.
It got down to the point, if there was a certain number of people still faithful to God, that God
that's
promised
just a couple
he wouldn't,
of chapters before,
wouldn't destroy the city.
Yeah.
And so now they have the story in chapter 19 where these two angels came to Sodom, I believe, to warn Lot and to bring him out of the city.
About what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the city was so bad. What had happened with the city? What was so bad about it?
They were very immoral. They did everything you could think of that was sinful against God.
What does the name, when you think of the name Sodomy, it comes from the name of this town, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was the problem. They were so immoral.
Right.
And when the account continues, it talks about how all the people... all the men of the city wanted Lot to send out these two strangers so that the men of the city could have their way with them.
Right, right. So, just in the chapter prior to 19, we find Abraham kind of bargaining with God.
Yeah.
About, you know, well, what if there were just so many men? Would you destroy it? Well, and he keeps reducing the number. And so here in this account with Lot, one of the things that today, unfortunately, is very acceptable among many people, and they're trying to make it more and more acceptable, is this act of homosexuality.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, we have this whole city that was destroyed because of this. It shows me, you know, when this country, we're in the United States of America, and when this country took on and made these things, started to make these things legal, and legal marriages for those of the same sex. It makes me wonder how far we are from maybe something like this happening in the world today, right?
You know, the Bible says that God loves us.
Sure.
And he sent his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But God's love doesn't mean that we continue in sin. God... will for our lives is to overcome sin in our lives. And when the world makes this act of homosexuality, which is a sin against God, according to the Bible, they promote that, you know, and they say, don't worry about it because God is love. They misunderstand who God is and what his purpose is.
Right. That's very true. So, you know, really, this isn't that long to read. It's one chapter. Since we're talking about Jude, since we're in Jude and it mentions this account, we've kind of set it up. Can we read this account?
Yeah, let's read the whole thing.
Let's just read it. I'll just start here in chapter 19, verse 1. It says, this is Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. It says, now the two angels came to Sodom. These are the ones that, who were these two angels again, Ed? I think you mentioned it just a moment ago.
I did.
The two angels that...
They had just come from
Abraham.
Visiting Abraham.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. And then you may rise early and go your way. It says, and they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people in every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out that we may know them carnally. So this is talking about having relations with them.
Yeah.
So who wants to continue in verse 6?
I can.
Go ahead, please.
And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do to them as you seem good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.
Now, I think we need to stop here because we need to understand what's going on here. You have a pretty good explanation of this, Rick, that I've heard you give before.
Okay.
That...
You're putting me on the spot.
He says, tell me what I'm thinking. Ed.
That Lot did not give his daughters to them to have sex outside of marriage. He was offering them in terms of offering them in marriage.
Yeah, but I think you're right because Lot, I think, was trying to do the right thing. But he recognized, I think it's obvious from the account, he recognized that there was something special about these two so-called men.
Right.
Because in the first verse, it does call them angels.
Right.
So these were men.
And he actually, he didn't worship them, but he kind of prostrated or bowed to them.
He understood that these were messengers from God.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to pretty much protect them and pretty much at all costs, ready to give up his daughters.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
To be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so this is what's taking place here. The city is, you can see how bad it had gotten. So where did you stop? Verse
9.
That's where we're picking up?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick. You want to continue?
And they said, stand back. And they said, again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he needs to be... I'm reading from the right passage, right? Now, he needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they were wearied themselves to find the door.
So this is a pretty desperate situation for these people.
Yeah, these two angels performed a miracle to smite the people at the door with blindness.
Even though they smited them with blindness, they were still trying to find the door.
Yeah, I mean, this is diabolical. It really is. I mean, it's a shame that our own selfish desires can be that strong that will continue to do something. If I lost my sight, I'd be saying, I can't see.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything that would have me that under control that I wouldn't recognize, you know, or wouldn't pay attention to my blindness. So let's continue on here. Ed, would you want to read from verse 12?
Sure. And the men said to Lot, have you anyone here besides yourself? Bring your son-in-law and your sons and your daughters, and whatever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because great is the cry of them before the face of Jehovah. And Jehovah has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went up and spoke with his son-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, get up and get out of this place, for Jehovah will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his son-in-law. And when the dawn rose up, then the angels hurried Lot, saying, rise up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And he lingered. The angel laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, Jehovah being merciful to him. And they brought him forth and set him outside of the city. And it happened, when they brought him outside, he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed.
You know, I just want to stop you there. As a child, you know, you hear these Bible accounts. And this one was one that I remember, because I remember what happened to Lot's wife. So when I would see, you know, you'd see the artist depiction of these things taking place. And For those of you who maybe have a Christian background, this story is probably all too familiar. But for some of you, maybe you've never heard this before. It's interesting what happens next.
And the key word I think you want to bring out, it says, do not look behind you, nor stay in the plain.
That's it. In other words, we keep our eyes focused ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe we can talk about that for a moment after we read this account.
Okay.
Where do we leave off?
Ed? Verse 18.
Okay. So you want to continue?
Sure. And Lot said to them, oh, no, Lord, please now. Your servant has found grace in your sight, and you have magnified your mercy, which you have shown me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now, this city is near to flee to, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have accepted you considering this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry and escape there, for I cannot do anything until you have come there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar.
Okay. You want to continue? Let's see. You want me to read?
Go ahead and read, Mark.
So verse 23, it says, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then Jehovah rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the words that were talked about in Jude, right?
Yes.
Talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're looking at this text. It says again, verse 24, Jehovah rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from Jehovah out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before Jehovah. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. What are your thoughts here?
You know, some people may say, that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, a number of years ago, I was online and I saw a video of someone. You know, you can go over to Israel today and you can take a tour to visit Sodom and
I know people who have done that. I've never done it.
And this person on the video did one of those tours, and they brought back some, I guess, brimstone, for lack of a better word.
Wow.
And they lit it on fire.
Really?
And it burned. Apparently, the smell was so bad they had to take it outside.
Yeah.
But it was a real... They dug it out of the cliff in the wall, in the wall of the cliff, at the location of Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's pretty amazing. You know, there's a really high concentration of sulfur over there in that region where this happened. And so, you know, there's things... And there are rocks that burn, like... what is it called? There's a... Some of these carbon lanterns they use, like in the mines, in the coal mines. And it's carbide. They're called carbide lanterns. Have you heard of those?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a rock. And
yep.
It burns really bright. So you can imagine if this is something that happened by God's divine causing, what it would have been like at that time. You know, so we think about this too with Lot's wife looking back. And she turns to a pillar of salt. To me, it just tells me the devil always wants us to look back at what we've done in our past.
Hmm.
And he wants us to feel bad about the things that we've done. You know, if we've come to our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, we've asked for forgiveness and we've confessed our sins, there's no need to look back at those things that we've done.
Hmm. We don't need to look back and be regretful that God has helped us overcome in some way also.
Amen.
We need to keep moving forward on God's plan for our lives and don't go back to the things that maybe we enjoyed once upon a time, the things of the world. And I think that was part of her problem also.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me ask you a question. Sodom and Gomorrah, it's a real place.
Yes, it is.
Is it burning today?
No, you just told us that somebody was over there and took a brimstone.
But when I look at this verse in Jude 1:7, it says that Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them were laid down as an example before times, undergoing vengeance of everlasting fire.
Yeah, so Rick, you mentioned just a little bit ago, that's an interesting text. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, mine says eternal fire, the vengeance, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Yeah, so what does that mean to you?
Is it the fire, like you asked, is the fire still burning?
Apparently not.
No, it's not. We know it's not.
So what can that mean then? It's got to mean something different than a fire that just goes on forever and ever.
Yes. Could it mean the result of the fire is eternal?
Yeah, the effects of that fire are eternal.
So, yeah, so when I read that text, that this eternal fire, unfortunately, there are people who believe that there is a hellfire burning right now. And if I die, I either go to heaven or to hell. And if I go into that hellfire, that I would be tortured immediately.
Forever.
Forever, for eternity. That's what people are taught. And they use a text like this to maybe justify that. But with just a little bit of thought, just looking at what the text says, looking at the account of Sodom, going by where we can go over to that very region, we can see that, well, it can't be talking about a literal burning eternal fire in Sodom.
Otherwise, it would be still burning.
Right. And isn't there a text that talks about the smoke ascending forever from Sodom as well, Rick? Do you see
that? There's smoke that ascends forever and ever, but that's not in reference to Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's in reference to the end of time, isn't it? In Revelation.
And, you know, we can talk more about hellfire and what that is, but I think the Bible is pretty clear. If we turn to Revelation 20, it tells us exactly how the wicked are destroyed.
Okay.
And it doesn't say that they're burning and burning forever. That's not what this text says.
Where are you in Revelation?
Revelation 20. And these are the wicked people.
Maybe 11 through 15?
I was thinking verse 9.
Okay.
Revelation 20, verse 9. This is talking about the wicked people. It says, they went up on the breadth of the earth, and they compassed or encamped around the city of the saints and of the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It doesn't say, and tortured them forever and ever.
Right.
It's basically saying, God's going to destroy the wicked with fire. Not let them live.
Read the next verse.
Okay. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
So what does that mean?
Oh, you're looking at me. I'm sorry. I was looking at another text.
All right.
Well, I think that it means that the result of that is forever and ever. Because the Bible tells us the dead know not anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't be actually tormented forever and ever. It's not in a conscious awareness. But don't you think that these things will be remembered forever? What the problem that sin caused, not only for humanity, but for the Son of God, the fact that he had to come, don't you think we'll be eternally reminded of what Jesus did for us?
Absolutely.
Doesn't that seem logical?
I think the gospel of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of it will continue forever.
Amen. It will. So any other thoughts on this? You know, I wanted to take a look at the Sodom and Gomorrah. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I want to go further down in Revelation 20.
Okay, please.
And verses 11 through 15. And it starts out, and I saw a great white throne and him sitting on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and a place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, both the small and the great, stand before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead in them, and each one of them was judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hmm. If anyone was not found having been written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Not only were the unrighteous cast the lake of fire, but death and hell were also cast in the lake of fire, and we were also destroyed. We were also done away with.
It shows destruction, doesn't it? That's what it's showing, that he those things are done away with completely.
There's an end to that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing, believe it or not, I have run into Christians, and there may be some listening to this program, that they believe in Jesus Christ, they believe in our Heavenly Father, they believe that Jesus came here and that he was a real historical figure, that he's the Son of God, but they don't accept these accounts, like of the flood of Noah's day. They don't believe that was literal. I can't believe that I run into people, Christians, that way. They don't believe that the account of Sodom and Gomorrah is literal.
Can I add some more text to kind of explain further?
What you were talking about.
Yeah,
don't let me shift us.
No.
You take us back there.
Okay, the book of Malachi.
Okay, that's right before Matthew.
Chapter four. And the title of this in my Bible is The Great Day of the Lord, starting in verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a fire pot, and all the proud and every doer of wickedness shall be chaff. And the coming day will set them ablaze, says the Jehovah host, which will not leave root nor branch to them. There will be nothing left of them. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise, and healing will be in his wings. And you shall go out and frisk like calves of the stall. And you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day which I am preparing, says Jehovah host.
Yeah.
They're done away with, destroyed.
Even in the New Testament, along with that, when you read something when you said swallowed, I think. Something was swallowed, I think it said in there.
Death and hell were swallowed.
Yeah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it brought to mind verse 54, where it says, death is swallowed up in victory.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, and that's the thing. In order for me to burn for an eternity in hell, I would have to have everlasting life.
Yeah.
That's true. That's not promised to the wicked.
No, it's not. I mean, you have two choices, life or death.
Yeah.
And Deuteronomy says, choose life.
I just think about that.
That's what God says. Yeah. Choose life. He's telling us, I'm giving you the choice. Now I'm telling you which to choose. So it's, I don't know, these things, it gets me fired up, no pun intended, when I think about these things. So, you know, did you have another text, Ed?
I was just going to try to find that text in Deuteronomy.
Oh, okay. All. Yeah, if you would, that would be good. Where he says, I come from a different background, so I remember it worded a different way. I think he called it a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, I found it.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it now?
Please. Where is it?
This is Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to start verse 13 through 16.
Okay.
Maybe a little longer. I'm going to start actually in verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it down to us, so that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us to the region beyond the sea and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. In that I command you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and keep his commandments, and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply. And Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. If you turn away your heart, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, so that both you and your seed may live.
Yeah. He's pleading with us, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, throughout the Bible, that's what I see God doing, trying to get his people back to where they were when he created us in the garden, when Adam and Eve were there.
And it's not a very popular word, but it's called obedience.
Yeah, that's right. This world hates that word, don't they?
Yeah.
Rick, did you have a thought?
Well, I always go back to, don't we have a great idea that the Creator knows what's best for its creation, for his creation?
Yeah. You know, it's to make it super simple, it's no different than if you follow the guidelines in the auto manufacturer's book on how to service the car, it's going to last you a lot longer.
Yeah, you use the right kind of oil. You put the right fluids in. If I've got a Honda, I don't want to use Chevrolet fluid in my Honda.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. That would be dumb.
And yet, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And yet, somehow, we think our way is better than God's way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, oh, go ahead, Ed.
You've had your finger in your Bible for a little while now. Well, you were going to read us something.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about these things of, there are so many Christians that I talk to, you know, I speak with a lot of people, and they pick and choose what parts of the Bible they want to believe.
Wow.
So my question with the most recent person I was talking to, they were saying, well, I don't believe the flood was literal.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? No, I don't believe. I think that, you know, I believe it existed, but I don't think it happened as it was. So, you know, one of the things that I like to do is I like to look at the Bible just like we do and see what it says in other places about these. We just read in Jude about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. Yeah.
And we established last week that Jude was probably Jesus' brother.
Stepbrother.
Yeah, stepbrother.
Yeah.
Or half-brother.
Half-brother,
right?
Yeah.
So we look here in Matthew chapter 10, and this is Jesus speaking. And if I begin in verse 14, he says, whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. He's talking to his disciples here about their witnessing. And he says in verse 15, assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Wow.
So he's saying that Sodom and Gomorrah was brought into judgment.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, that's his words. That's Jesus' words. So then I think about the flood. What about the flood of Noah's day? Well, if I look at Matthew chapter 24, he says in verse 36, but of that day and hour, talking about his coming again, he says, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
What's the next verse?
Oh, it says, for as in the days before the flood, so it talks about a flood, it says they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
They were unprepared.
They were not prepared.
Had they been warned?
Over and over again.
Yeah. Noah was a preacher
of righteousness. Yeah. We know it took him a long time to build that ark. You know, don't you think people had questions as to what was going on?
Yeah.
You know, these crazed people that were knocking down Lot's door, nothing they could say could change what it was that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Even making them blind.
Yeah, even being struck blind did not change. And so that tells me, you know, in the context of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the context of what Jesus is talking about here, it seems like at the end of time, before Christ comes, the only way a person's going to change is if they want to change. They have to want to be changed.
They have to want to know the truth of God's word. They want to know God. They love God, you know?
A lot of people I hear say, oh, I love the Lord. I love God. I want to do... Then why are you living this way?
Yeah.
You know, your lifestyle's not showing it.
Mm.
And friends, look, we've talked about this over and over, especially the past few weeks. How do I overcome if I've got something in me? You know, let's suppose that somebody is listening to this program and we read this account of Sodom and Gomorrah, how these people had these desires that are condemned in the Bible. if you are a homosexual, if you're a person that has these desires, we have to overcome, but you're not left alone.
No.
It's not something that we can do on ourselves.
No, we can't, you know. I mean, I've struggled with things in my life, and I may be able to do better at them for a while, but eventually, you know, they come out again. The only way that I know of is through the power of Christ living in us to overcome any sin, no matter what it is in our lives.
That's true.
And it takes faith. You have to believe it.
You have to believe it.
Oh. That's what the gospel is all about. It's the power of God to change us.
Yes.
No matter where we are, He has the ability to change us if we just want Him to do it and let Him do it.
Now, some people may say, I've gone too far. I can't be saved. But that's not true. That's the very reason Christ came to this earth, to die for us. And when He rose again, now His Spirit can live in our hearts to help us overcome. It's never too late.
Right.
Unless...
It wasn't too late for the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as the door to that ark isn't sealed, you can still get on the ark.
Yeah,
that's
right?
It.
It's when that door closed.
That's when
it's too late.
It's too late. You know, Rick, you gave a sermon yesterday called Who Decides?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about how some churches will accept certain things that are not biblical. And if I'm sitting in a church that accepts something that God's Word says I shouldn't, where's the litmus test? Do
well,
I just
the
follow that?
Litmus test has to be the Word of God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, where are we going to get the standard for what we should believe and adhere
right.
to? There's no other standard. Is it just that, oh, I feel good about it, or it seems like the right thing to do, or that's what all my friends are doing, or, you know, all those things aren't worth a hill of beans.
They're not.
And when it comes right down to it, God is going to require each of us to give an account of how we lived up to His standard, not the standard of the world or our friends or our churches.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, that's hard to hear sometimes, especially when you say not the standard of our church, because so many people are in a denomination or a church that maybe my parents were in, my grandparents were in, my great-grandparents, and I just know that this church, that pastor loves me. He's not going to mislead me. He's not going to tell me something that's not true.
The only way you're going to know what truth is, like Rick said, is to go to the Word of God.
We have to go to the Word
of
God.
Now, some people say, I don't understand the Bible. It's hard to understand.
Right.
But God has promises in His Word. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask me for it, and I'll give it to you.
That's right.
Or He says, I'll send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Yes, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes study. You don't learn things overnight necessarily, but you'll be amazed what you see in God's Word when you just simply read it to find out what it says.
So true. You know, as with any relationship, you're only going to get out of it what you're willing to put into it. But what I find with God is that He always gives me more than what I put into it.
Yeah.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
You know, I give Him a little bit, and He just pours the blessings out abundantly.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that, friends, just try it. Just do something. Read the Bible and try to make an adjustment in your life toward that. And ask God to help you with that and see if He doesn't pour that blessing upon you.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I do want to recommend, it's not a plug for the website, but if you've got a chance, go to the website and listen to the sermon that Rick gave called Who Decides, if you're listening to this program. And I think it'll challenge you to ask some really good questions about not only what you believe, but why you believe it.
Yeah.
And who decides what to believe and why to believe it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think you'll really appreciate that. So back to any other thoughts on this, Jude, with the Sodom and Gomorrah and these cities around them? So it wasn't just that one place, was it?
It was multiple cities around that area.
It was a region,
yeah,
wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? So any other thoughts?
Well, I think the next verse 8, goes back to what Jude was trying to say in the beginning, that these, verse 2 says, for certain men have crept in unawares. And basically he's saying, in verse 8, he re- referring back to that after giving an all these examples, saying, likewise, these filthy dreamers defiled the flesh, despised dominion, and speak evil of dignities. So I think that's the context of going back to Jude.
Okay.
And so what is his point in this whole section?
That, well, the example of Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to let them know that God is a God of love, but also a God of justice.
Right.
And this is an example of the justice that will be meted out at the end of time.
And the same with the angels who forsook their dwelling place.
Yeah, and it's the same with the people in his day that he's talking about. He's saying, look, there are people who don't want to follow God, and they're amongst us. They're in our churches. They're in our congregations. They're in our everyday lives. And we've got to be careful of these people. I think that's what he's saying.
So what does that look like on a practical level for right now?
I think we really need to be careful about who our friends with, who our friends are, mm-hmm. who we associate with, because, you know, we have an influence on others, but they have an influence on us at the same time.
You know, we live in a world of instant communication.
Yes, we
do. Internet,
right?
Your phone, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. What you take into your eyes, what you take into your ears, will influence you and your character.
Yes, the five senses that we have are much more powerful than we think a lot of times. Rick, you said something. We were together here within the past week or so, and you said that smell has a very big impact on us.
Yeah.
I think it was at the Bible study Wednesday.
Yeah, I had a relative of mine who passed away years ago, but he would use the original mouthwash. I can't remember the name of it.
Listerine?
What's that?
Listerine. Listerine.
Listerine. Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I smell that smell, I think of this man. He was wonderful, a relative of mine. But smells are powerful that way. They bring back memories.
Yeah. And music. Sometimes you ever hear a song that'll take you back to maybe when you were in high school and you just remember.
Oh, yeah.
This was on the high school jukebox. Or, you know, I remember me and Tom were standing there one day. You know, just everything.
So the point is, what you take in, if it's evil, it's going to influence you to
That's
evil.
It.
If it's good, it's going to influence you to good. So be careful.
There is a text that, and I think I've shared this on this program before, 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a text as a kid that was read to me and recited over and over and over. And here's what it says. I've got it right here. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So the way it was in the Bible translation that I grew up with, it says, bad associations spoil useful habits. And it's really true. We might think, well, you know what? I can hang out with this guy and not be affected. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I can witness to him and some of the good will rub off. And I think there are times that that's necessary and we should try to be around. But where are you hanging out? Who else is going to be there? Are you going to be influenced heavily by maybe the type of music that's played, by the people that are around?
Your conversation, what's it about? Is it something evil or something good?
Exactly. And it's just like, you know, we've talked about this before in the weeks past, how foul language, you know, if we're around people that use it, we eventually become callous to it. We watch certain things on TV, we start to accept it and say, well, that's not so bad. You know, I'll watch this show. It's not as bad as the last one I watched.
Yeah.
And we become calloused.
Sin doesn't become sin anymore.
Right. Right. So, you know, we're just about out of time, guys, but on a practical level, I think a lot of people, let's face it, church is kind of a comfort zone for most of us. We go to church, we know the people, we feel comfortable around them. But just because they're in church doesn't mean that they're always the best associates. Just because they're here doesn't mean that they're always the best.
Let me ask you a question. When you go to church and hear a sermon, should that make you uncomfortable?
Well, I'll tell you this. If it's not, then maybe I think we should have sermons that make us happy and rejoice. We should have sermons that help me to be able to straighten up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, typically when I hear a sermon at the Prophecies of Hope Church, it's always something that touches me that I say, you know what? I got a lot of work to do. I've got to work on this or that.
Yeah.
And I think the one that you gave yesterday, Rick, was a good reminder of how we have to examine and re-examine the things that we believe.
It's a constant process. And, you know, I was blessed by the things that God put on my heart with that sermon. I just want to say this, that that's what I believe this whole thing in Jude, this whole chapter, this whole book of Jude is about, is warning us about the influence of people around us, warning us that there's going to come people that don't want to have anything to do with God, but they're hard to recognize sometimes because the devil is really wily in what he does. He's really deceitful.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't know. It's really important for us to check and see where we are in our spiritual walk with God and apply our lives to his word and see where we're not measuring up.
Yeah, that's vital. I mean, these are vital things. So what we'll do is, I guess we'll end here. Next week, there's an interesting verse, Jude verse 9.
We only did two verses
today. We'll see what happens next week. But Jude verse 9 is something that it troubled me for a long time as a Christian.
Okay.
Until I understood the truth about certain things. Mm. This particular verse was really... even though I understand what happens when we die, it bothered me.
Okay.
But once I studied and I learned some things, it makes really good sense to me now, and I'm looking forward to discussing that. Again, friends, we want to welcome you to come back next week at 7 p.m. We'll continue our study in Jude. Did you have any closing comments, brothers?
I don't.
Anything at all? And as far as the Bible series, remember that's September 28th through October the 3rd this year, 2020. And we do need to close with prayer. So, Rick, would you do that for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being reminded here in the book of Jude that we need to be careful about who we associate with. We need to be careful about the influence that others have on us. And Father, we're reminded that your word is the standard for your judgment, but it's also your standard for the decisions we should be making in our lives. Help us to stick to your standard and not stick to the world's standard in any way. In all these things, we praise you, and we ask a blessing on not only us, but all those listening to our voices, Father. Lift them up in your arms, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, friends, we thank you for tuning in. We hope you're back again next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.